Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
This evening's reading is taken from John 4, verse 11 to 18. That's page 1077 in the Pew Bibles. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did all his sons, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds? Jesus answered, all who drink this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Charmaine. Good evening again, everyone. I wonder whether you had an answer to that question, whether you'd had a conversation with anyone that was a bit unusual, someone you didn't know. It happened to me. I've had a few, actually. I don't know whether I tracked it, but I had one particular notable many years ago when I was at university, and I was going back to university from home. And I got on a train, and I sat next to this person. He started talking to me. Now, there's probably a caveat here, okay? I know, talking to a stranger on a train, very strange, very unusual, a bit weird, okay? But this is in the north, and I'm a northerner, and in the north, we do tend to talk to people on trains. Okay, so that bit wasn't unusual. But anyway, we got talking, and we asked a bit of small talk about family, and then he started telling me about his life. He said that he'd really got into drugs, and also into the occult, particularly into Ouija boards, and he'd really got addicted to this. So much so, and he got into a really dark place. And he'd, at one point in life, thought about suicide. And then suddenly, but a relative of him had given him a Bible. And at that point, when his darkest point, he just thought, you know, there's nothing to lose. He started to read it. And he kept reading. And he said, a light just shone into his life. Suddenly, everything became clear. And at that point, he fell on his knees and committed his life to Jesus. And he said after that, his life had been really tough because a lot of his friends had abandoned him. Some even actually had been quite violent to him. But he found a new group of friends who were now telling people about the transformational power of Jesus. Well, I was sat on this train listening to this story. After it, I was like, wow, that's amazing. I'd only recently become a Christian. I knew the power of Jesus, but I have to be honest also, a little bit skeptical. It's not the sort of normal conversation you have on a train from Preston. But then what happened was we got to Crewe, and someone else got on at Crewe, and he sat next to me and opposite this guy. And they got talking again, as you do in the north. And he started talking about his life. And he actually said, to be honest, he was starting to dabble a bit in the occult particularly. But you know, he wasn't really sure where it was leading, and life was getting a bit messed up. And so the guy who had met at Preston started to tell him about his life. You could see that they sort of knew a little bit of the same sort of interests. But he then starts telling him about Jesus, about the good news and how it rescued him. By the time we got to Birmingham, where we all had to change trains, this guy had prayed a prayer. This guy got on a crew, prayed a prayer, committing his life to Jesus. And I just sat there. And I have to be honest, I just inwardly was praying, thinking this is amazing to have this train journey and this transformational power. That was many years ago. I admit I didn't keep in touch, but I know how it happened. But it was an amazing story of the power of God to speak to people. I tell that story because it reveals that. But also, we're looking tonight at a passage where, again, there's a conversation between two people who never met before, and yet it has transformational power. And it'd be great this evening if you look through the reading that we just had, Charmaine brought. It's on page 1077 in the Bibles in the pews, John chapter 4. And we're continuing a series we started last week, looking through this chapter of John. And if you weren't here last week, it'd be great. Natasha talked about how Jesus met with a Samaritan woman. They were polar opposites. He was a man, she was a woman in a culture where they didn't generally talk to each other unless they were married. But also, he was a Jew, she was Samaritan. The Jews and Samaritans hated each other. They just didn't engage with each other at all. And on top of that, we learn also that he was a teacher, he had disciples. And she, to be honest, even in her community, was regarded as a bit of a woman of ill repute. She was being ostracized by the people around her in the village that she lived. And it'd be great, if you weren't there last week, just go online and do listen to Natasha. She talks through that talk. And what it shows us is, yet Jesus engages with this woman. The power of the gospel, the good news, is for everyone. Whatever background we come from, whatever we've done in the past, Jesus wants to meet with us, engage with us, and show us true life, his living water. So that's what we looked at last week. But I want us to again look at this conversation. Of course, that was because we knew who Jesus was. But when we look at the reading that we had, this woman doesn't know who Jesus is. And actually, we look through it, it's quite an unusual conversation. So it starts, actually, in verse 10. In verse 9, Jesus had gone up to the woman and said, "I'm thirsty, can I have some water?" And she immediately goes, "Look, actually, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. We don't associate. Do you not know the rules? You don't talk on trains. Jews and Samaritans don't talk to each other. And do you know who I am?" But Jesus then says, "Well, I can offer you. If you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for living water." Well, I wonder what she's thinking at this point. I mean, what's this guy? I mean, he hasn't even got a bucket. How is he going to get some water from the well? The well is deep. And so she says to him, "Are you greater than Jacob, who made this well?" I think she's looking at him with a bit of, really, what are you on about? Of course, Jesus is greater than Jacob. But at this point, she doesn't know that. But Jesus then goes on again. He says, "Well, actually, this water I'm going to offer to you, you will never need to, it will quench your thirst. You'll never thirst again. In fact, this water will well up to eternal life." Well, I wonder what she's thinking now. She says back to him, she says, "Well, give me this water, give me it. I'm thirsty." But I wonder whether there's a hint, a little bit of sarcasm or whatever. We just don't know reading this. But as you can see, it's been quite an unusual conversation. And then anyway, Jesus is sensing this, switches the conversation. He goes to her, "Well, I know, go and call your husband and come back." Now, at this point, this actually is a bit of a sore point for the woman. It's a bit tetchy. So she comes back to him. Her answer, "I have no husband." Technically, it's correct. Doesn't really tell the whole truth. I wonder whether she's trying to get out maybe this conversation. Maybe it's gone so far. And then suddenly, there's this bombshell, this revelation. Because then Jesus says to her, "You're right. I know that you have no husband. In fact, you've had 5 husbands. And the person you're with now is not your husband." I wonder how she felt then. This is a guy she has never met. Maybe she'd been thinking it's a strange conversation, but suddenly she realizes he knows me. He knows all about me. And not only that, it's not just about knowing something, but he knows this is the thing, this is the part of my life that's been so consequential for me, that in some ways the reason my life is in a mess because of the things that I've done, that he knows me. Maybe, I don't know what she thought of Jesus before he revealed that, but now she's thinking, this guy, he's the real deal. He knows. What he's been saying about living water, that must be true. I wonder whether you're sat here this evening, what you think of Jesus. Because Jesus makes, like he did in this story, some pretty remarkable and bold claims. Astounding, actually. He says that he is God who came to earth. That he died for each one of us so that we can know God and that we can have our sins forgiven. That he rose again to show us new life. What he calls here, living water. That we have now and for everlasting life. They are bold claims. And of course, the world says, like this woman may have thought initially, well, they're bold claims, but look, we moved on from that. That's superstition, 2,000 years ago. We live in the 21st century. In our world, we don't need God or Jesus. We have our own truths to live by. Well, I wonder if that's you. Then just like this woman, I'd ask, engage with Jesus. Find out more. Learn more about him. Maybe even go on an Alpha course or some other Christianity Explore course where you can learn more about Jesus. Ask someone. Get open those Bibles. Engage with him. Engage with those claims that he makes. Because just like this woman, you'll find that those claims, those amazing claims Jesus has made, are true. And they are relevant. They were relevant to this woman. And they're relevant now. They are life-changing. So let's look at those claims that Jesus makes to this woman. And there are two main claims made. First of all, that we are all thirsty. And secondly, that we need living water. So firstly, that we are thirsty. That, and he says this in verse 14. He says, look, all who drink this, or verse 13, all who drink this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give them will never thirst. He recognizes that all of us have a thirst in us. And he shows that to this woman. That is why he mentions about the husbands. Now, we don't know anything. We've not revealed anything more about what happened to these five marriages that she had. Why they'd broken up. But it certainly, we can understand from the passage that it certainly made her feel very uncomfortable in the village, in the town where she lived. We know that because the fact that when she went to the well, she went on her own, which is very unusual in those times. And she went at a very unusual time as well, trying to avoid people. We also know, later on in the passage, there are things that she's done that she's not proud of, that the town know as well that she's done. What this suggests is that here is someone who has a thirst for loving relationships, a thirst to know that they're loved, a thirst for an emotional stability, and yet she has looked in the wrong places, ended up with failed marriages, and ended up actually maybe doing things she's not proud of. And ended up being in a place that's very uncomfortable. I wonder if she's thirsting now. Maybe that's why she asked Jesus for this water. Thirsting now for a new start, for forgiveness, to be accepted, and a new start. She is thirsting. I wonder, what do we thirst for? Maybe, like this woman, we thirst to know that we are loved and valued and accepted. Maybe even we thirst for a new start, for a new life. Or maybe we thirst to know what it is to be accepted, to be loved, to know what it is to be in relationship. Maybe we thirst for stability, for peace, to have meaning and purpose in life. Well, Jesus says here that all of us thirst, and that Jesus knows us, and he knows where we thirst, just as he knew this woman. But he also knows that the world cannot answer that thirst, cannot quench that thirst. Just as this woman had looked into, had thought, I'll quench this thirst by relationships, by entering various different relationships. But none of them quenched her thirst. Maybe we do that too. We look to materials or money or possessions. Maybe we too look for to quench our thirst in our relationships or friendships. Maybe, like the friend that I met on the train, we look to some sort of addiction, drugs or alcohol or pornography. And of course, sometimes it can seem it does quench our thirst for a short time. But ultimately, it will never quench our thirst. Look what Jesus says. All who drink this water will be thirsty again. Jesus says we all are thirsty. But Jesus says also that I offer living water. Water that does quench that thirst. And that's what he's come to offer, that living water. Look at verse 13 and 14 again with me. So Jesus answered, all who drink this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. All of us, of course, need water to live. It is essential to life. If we have no water, we die. But Jesus says, actually, if we want to know true life, we need to receive his living water, the water that Jesus came to offer. But you may say to me, what is this living water? What does Jesus mean? Well, I think there are actually two elements to this. Firstly, there's the water that quenches our thirst forever. That when we accept Jesus into our life, we accept that invitation he makes. When we decide to follow him, to serve the God who made us, who created us. When we decide to enter into a relationship with him, then we can know that we are loved and valued, that we are accepted and forgiven. We can know meaning and purpose in our life. Things that the world cannot quench. But if we know Jesus, he quenches that thirst. That if we accept Jesus, accept that he's our living water, then we can know new life. Life to the full, as John later says. Life knowing the God who made us. Saint Augustine, from the 5th century AD, wrote these words about God. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. We all thirst. That thirst is quenched when we know Jesus Christ in our lives. But Jesus goes on, he then says, but actually this, he sort of elaborates even further. But this water that I give, in fact, will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You probably think, what's he mean now? Now there is this water, but this water's going to well up. Well, in fact, later on in chapter 7, Jesus will then say these words, whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow. And then John explains that this refers to the Holy Spirit. That when we receive Jesus in our life, that he gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and transforms and changes us, gives us a thirst to do God's will, helps us to be the people God made us to be. And it says here, wells up to eternal life. I think what he means, the Holy Spirit enables us to know God and his will for our life more and more, preparing us to live with God forever. The Holy Spirit comes, we read in other parts of the New Testament. The Holy Spirit comes and gives that sense of joy and peace and love and gentleness and kindness and self-control. The Holy Spirit also equips us to do the things God calls us to do. Gives us that power of God. Gives us guidance. Gives us comfort and strength to be who God made us to be. This Holy Spirit wells up in our hearts. Wells up so that we can know God more and more. And I think there's something wonderful about using the idea of water. Water, of course, is liquid. It spreads out. And so when we invite Jesus into our life, the Holy Spirit comes and allows God's love to sort of spread out into all parts of our lives. Even the parts that maybe we've, you know, not let God into. But it transforms them, changes us to be more like Jesus. And then, of course, as that it wells up, it overflows. So actually, we can be examples and share God's love with those around us. Wherever we are, whether that's in our families, our friendships, in our workplaces, enables us to be, even on a train journey, the Holy Spirit welling in us, enabling us to share and reflect God's love to others. But I wonder tonight, is that how you feel? I know sometimes we can often feel a little bit dry, maybe feel a little bit stagnant, that maybe there doesn't seem to be that water flowing in us, bubbling up. Maybe it is the pressures, the stresses of life, or even the so many distractions the world offers that lead us, in a sense, to dam up that spring, to sort of keep the Holy Spirit and the water in a place, to not let it flow. Well, if that is you, I would encourage, just hold on to these verses. That promise that Jesus makes, that if we've accepted Jesus into our life, that we receive his living water, and it's welling up in our hearts to let us know him more and more. And maybe then take the opportunity just to, not to keep the metaphor going, but to get the bucket, get that water out, that well in our hearts, and know it more and more. It might be just by spending time in quiet and prayer. Maybe by picking up our Bibles, letting it speak again. Maybe as we sing, as we worship God, letting those promises again of living water come alive for us again and again. Because these are promises that we can hold on to. Maybe every time you pick up a glass of water, every time you have a shower or a bath or you wash your face, every time it rains, and that's a lot of times, remind yourself that just as we need water to live, we need to know God more and more, that this living water, it's what gives us true life, new life, life with meaning and purpose. We talked earlier about conversation, whether we'd ever had a conversation with someone, a life-transforming conversation, maybe with someone we never met. Well, I think here, Jesus actually invites us to stand with this Samaritan woman and enter into that conversation. To know that Jesus actually meets us where we are. He comes to us, just like he came to this woman. He meets us and accepts us, just as he did with this woman. He shows that he knows us, but also knows maybe the things we've done we're not that proud of. And he knows that we thirst. Thirst to know what life is really about. And then he comes and offers us that living water. A living water that gives us life, new life. And he says, just come and take. Come and receive. Just ask and receive this living water. We're going to spend now just a moment just of quiet. Just maybe still our hearts. To think about how to remind, to allow us to just dwell on that fact that we have this living water, that Jesus offers living water to us. Whatever questions you've got, ask and receive that living water. Dig into that well and let it flow again into your lives. So let's spend a moment of quiet. and then we'll go now into a time of prayer.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.